Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game, call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgments and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I am back today with Ashantis Jones, and we're here for part two of our two-part series of our episode all about Cowboy Carter, Beyoncé's new album. If you didn't listen to the first episode that was dropped last week, go ahead and listen to that first. I think it'll give you a lot more context and enjoyment. Let's just dive right in to part two and talk about the rest of this album. Hey, Ashantis, welcome back for part two.
Hello, I'm so glad to be back for part two.
I can't believe we talked for over an hour last time about half of the album,
I know. But I really do think that, like, the girls needed to know our thoughts.
They needed to know. The people needed to know. They did. And there was a lot. And for everyone that thought that was excessive, I know that there are other people that are probably doing deep dives that are really excited to be back, as excited as we are for part two. So I think where we left off on the series was talking about Levi Jeans.
Yes. Levi Jeans. Okay. First off, can we talk about the fact that Post Malone, because as we're recording this, Taylor Swift's new album has also come out, which I have not personally listened to, but I am aware that Post Malone is on it.
Yes.
And I said, how did that man get on two of what will be the highest play albums of the year casually?
Yeah. And I have you seen that thing? It was like a meme floating around that's like so cute that Beyonce and Taylor Swift are sharing custody of Post Malone this summer.
Wait, that's hilarious. I had not seen that, but that's kind of accurate.
Yeah, it's kind of accurate. And I don't really know. We talked about last time how Beyonce is very intentional about everything she does. What do you think the intentionality was behind having Post Malone?
So, okay, I think that one, he started in more country roots. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I think, similar to Most Wanted with Miley. Like, you had people who started in country roots, went a completely different way, and this is kind of bringing them back to really, like, their most authentic songs, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah.
Because this allowed Post Malone, I feel like, to still maybe utilize the skills, because there are skills that I think he has just learned to master as he has learned hip hop, but they're not necessarily, it's like more like acting than it is being, right?
Sure. So yeah.
I think allows him to not necessarily have to act, but flow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that checks out. I think it really does. What are your thoughts on this song generally?
Generally, I think it's just supposed to be a fun song.
Like, yeah.
I think it's just supposed to be a bop, and a bop it is.
I would agree.
On my Bye Vibes playlist.
Yes, I would definitely agree. And I think to add to that, I am neither a Swiftie nor a Post Malone fan, but I am not a fan of either of them. I just feel sort of neutral. But I know in particular quite a few people that are really into Post Malone that it almost feels like a nice little add-in to put in there. I'm trying to think of like a good analogy, because we know I love to speak in those. It's like, well, like, here, we're going to give you this great album and we're going to throw in a free tote bag.
Yes. No, that's definitely what it's giving. That's absolutely what it's giving. And I feel like, okay, two things. Number one, the song is called Levi Jeans 2i. The brand Levi Jeans is usually 1i, which is how it's spelled in the actual lyrics. Mm-hmm. But do you know that after this album came out, that Levi Jeans, the brand, changed their like profile picture on Instagram to Levi with 2 eyes?
Interesting. Okay, and I wonder, here's what I'm thinking about in terms of like what you have to pay to get the rights for, or like how that works out. And also, what made her choose Levi's as a brand?
I feel like it had to do with the fact that I feel like Levi Jeans, no matter, and I think this is a part of Levi Jeans's branding, no matter your age, no matter where you come from, Levi Jeans are for you because they're just good, well-made jeans. And this is not the first time that Levi Jeans has been mentioned in, you know, some type of pop culture or lyric moment. Mm-hmm. But I think this allows Beyonce to associate herself with them without having to pay them. And now, reverse, they gonna end up paying her.
Slick.
From a marketing standpoint, I really can't be mad at it. From capitalism, sure. But like from a marketing standpoint, she said, I'm going to make a song called Levi Jeans. It's going to have 2 eyes in it, so y'all can't come for me. But it's going to be so fucking popular. They're going to figure out how to make Beyonce a brand ambassador or something. And they're going to have to pay her a crazy amount of money to do it.
Yeah. Huh.
And she didn't have to go and ask them. They're going to come and ask her.
Wow. And I wonder, like, we got to follow up and see, like, do they have they already?
Yes. I don't, not that I'm aware of, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, because there was already kind of like merch and the vinyl that had been pre-pressed that went out like on her website.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised once tour dates are announced if there's like some kind of Levi Cowboy Carter exclusive drop to go along with people already spending all their money on tickets, which again, from a capitalism standpoint, I don't love that, you know, people be paying for tickets to see the show instead of paying their bills. But I feel like that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right. Yeah. Anything else on this one, you think?
Two things. One, her Nick at Night lyric didn't age well already, because of all the Ian is in from the Quiet on Set.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh, this would have been a slick lyric until literally 5 seconds ago.
Okay.
So and I was like, damn.
You know what I was actually thinking about? Because I was re-listening to our first episode where we were talking about how she actually created this album before Renaissance and it was meant to come out first. And then I was like, I wonder if there's anything else that didn't age well in that way. But you know what's funny? I knew about the Nickelodeon scandal stuff. And for whatever reason, I didn't associate like Nick at Night as being Nickelodeon. And I think the reason is because when I think about like the shows and like the areas in which that surrounds, I think, and I didn't watch the documentary yet, but in particular, All That.
Yeah.
Was one of those, which to me feels like a very different vibe than like the shows that were on Nick at Night when I was a kid, like I Love Lucy.
Yes.
So I didn't put that connection together, but you're correct.
Yeah. The only other thing I picked up from the lyrics on this one, which I was like, I wonder if this just happened or if it was planned. Did Beyonce make him say it? I don't know. But he literally says, Renaissance, need you all night long, you're my Renaissance. And I was like the album?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe.
I'm
I'm so curious now because I'm thinking about too how Renaissance came out first. And so, like, when I listen to it, like, I make that connection, like, oh, that's what he means, referring to this album that was already made. But if this was made first, was that like foreshadowing? And if yes, then are there other little nuggets in here, like little breadcrumbs that are gonna tell us what the next album is gonna be called?
I don't know. I think this might have been one of the songs that was made post the original album, but I will say that they are both credited for like songwriting credits on this.
Got it.
So there's a couple other folks as well, but yeah, I was like, I want to know. I'm like, who said it?
Yeah.
Who said it first? But yes, that's all I got for Levi James.
Okay, same. And then I feel like we move into like a couple of like little shorties after this.
Yeah.
Like we've got Flamenco next. And to, I don't have like a whole lot of deep thoughts on that one, except for like it's giving me like the musical vibe of like old Western,
Yes.
like the sepia toned, like somebody's walking down like a dusty alley with their spurs on and about to have a shoot off.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. The only thing that I thought about, and this is in the playlist from TikTok, if folks are looking at that in the show notes, I put this video in there, and there is a person I just found who I guess was analyzing some things about Cowboy Carter before it came out. And one of the things that she suspected was that there may be not only obviously a lot of homage to like black cowboy culture, but then possibly also Mexican cowboy culture. And so I wonder if flamenco was like her little like tiny way of talking about the diaspora, if you will, as a full of country versus just the black diaspora specifically.
Yeah, you're probably right. You are probably
But
right.
I didn't even get that
Yeah, I didn't go too
far
deep
into.
into it, other than the fact that I also thought like the rhythms were really interesting. Like tap dancer Jenna would tap that.
Yes, she would.
Yes, she would. And then we get into our little Linda Martell show nugget. Which is just like not so much a song as it is kind of like introducing Yaya as an interesting listening experience. And let me tell you that it was. And I have like 8,000 things to say about that song. But before we get into that can of worms, what do you want to add?
I think that I will be very ready to cry if we do not get visuals for the Linda Martell show slash Yaya.
What do you mean
Because I
visuals?
like I need a full production music video.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because it's like I can sort of see it in my head. So I was like, I need the full production video for this. And I didn't necessarily feel that for every single song on the album. But this was definitely one of the ones that I was like, I can see it in my head, and I need y'all to give us the video. Thank you.
This song was like a full, like there was so much going on that it could have been overwhelming, but like it wasn't overwhelming because everything just blended together so nicely. And the first
Really?
time I was listening to it, I was in my she shed. I was doing a workout, and I remember, I think it was actually on Easter Sunday, and I had like laid the audio over the video of me lifting, and like there were literally like dance breaks in there because I was having so many moments. And I've got to tell you all, so we made these playlists. I started one on Apple Music, you have one, you duplicated it on Spotify, and then I think each of ours might have some extra songs on them like here or there because I've added a couple of things in the
Hey.
process. But I want to start out by throwing out some of the songs that I hear like sampled in there,
Yeah.
and then you tell me if you hear any, and then I want to talk about some of my favorite parts. So These boots are made for walking.
Yes.
Obviously, we have in there, which is great. Like, just yes. We've got the Beach Boys Good Vibrations.
Yep.
I also feel like it's giving Sly and the Family Stone, like Dance to the Music or Soul Clappin'.
Oh, interesting.
It's got that, like, I
Yeah.
don't know how to say it other than I'm like bobbing my head. It's got that feel to it. There's that moment where she's like, "Hey, lover boy," which is
Yes.
like Mickey and Sylvia from Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
I heard, and this excited me the most, "Shake a Tail Feather" in
Yes.
there, because, and I was thinking about this because I had choreographed a tap dance for my little tap company Nuggets to "Shake a Tail Feather," and in "Shake a Tail Feather," there's this whole part where it's like goes through all of like the dance vernacular. They're like, do the twist and do the
Yes.
fly and do the jerk and do the
Yeah.
monkey, and they go through all of those dances, and then in the part where she's like all the things,
We
like we
snap.
shake, yeah, like. And
Yeah.
just goes through like all of the things. We jerk
Yes.
in, and I'm like, us too,
That's
Beyonce.
you.
We are 100% doing that. And so that was a really fun thing for me to hear. I was also getting, and this is totally misinformed because I'll be honest, I don't even listen to Elvis. Like, I probably cannot name you one Elvis songs, but I was getting Elvis vibes from the part where she's like, about got this slugs in my mouth and you know what I mean?
Yes.
That part.
Okay. I do think you're correct. And same as last episode, Raze,
Well, I
Elvis
was gonna say, and that's why I'm like, who did he steal that from?
So I would assume that's still coming from the like Chuck Berry, Rosetta Tharpe, like OGs really of rock and roll that
Right.
never get their props for it.
Yeah.
And this entire song, my mom said this, and so then I was like, I know it's true. She was like, this song is just giving Tina Turner. This entire song is Tina Turner. And I was like,
Yes.
it absolutely is.
Yes, and we have a couple, and I'll have to talk to one of my clients also, like, gave me some songs for the playlist. And there were Tina Turner songs in there. There was definitely a Proud Mary moment. There was
Yes.
definitely, I think generally, like vocally, even like
Yes.
the way that she sang certain things was very Tina Turner.
Yes, like the tonality, the like drawl in the voice in certain parts, even like especially at the end as it starts to transition into Desert Eagle, like the like it's very Tina was just going off on the mic because she could.
Right.
Because she
Yeah.
could.
She could. And then I was also getting, this is going to sound so dumb, and I am certain Beyonce didn't take from this, but it makes me think of, have you ever seen, there was an SNL skit with Kenan Thompson, and he's this game show host, and he has this whole theme song where he's like, ooh wee, what's up with
Yes.
that? What's up with
Yes.
that? Yeah. I was getting.
Oh. Okay. The entire number to me kind of gave that similar like game show vibe. And in my head, the set that I pictured this to like this whole number to sort of take place on is something similar to like the Hairspray set.
Yes. Okay. And that makes me go back to my favorite part in the very beginning when she's like, it's like, hello, fellas. Hello, Beyonce. And she's like, 'cause I'm a clever girl. We snap in. And then she like just switches on a dime. That is my favorite moment. And I want to know what you think of it because it's very like squeaky clean, like that, like 50s, 60s, like little white kids on Hairspray.
Yeah.
Like that. And then she snaps and she's like, no, I'm going to tell you what to do.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I think like that is also part of the Linda Martell intro into it is like it sets the stage for you like turning on your black and white TV and that like sound the dial makes when you turn it on and like that is now we're in that world, if you will, for
Yeah.
like the entirety of this number. And then we come back out of it for it's actually Oh Louisiana before we go into Desert Eagle. And so, yeah, like in that way, and I don't think I mentioned this in the last episode, but I spoke to someone about this since we recorded last. I get musical theater vibes from this album as a whole.
Okay, now I'm gonna have to listen to it with like those ears, and I wonder what else you're hearing too, because you were a theater major. Were you a theater major?
Yeah, I have my BFA in theater.
So you have more of a like theater background than I do. I was a theater kid, but I was a dance major. So
Just thinking about the way, like, remember a little bit how we were talking about it seems like she kind of has like short acts, if you will, and like the way the songs can kind of be grouped together. And then you have a lot of these like interludes. And in that way, it kind of reminds me of the structure of Hamilton and the fact that like the entire album is the entire story for the most part. And that you have like reprised moments. And like, I don't know. And I think of like if Yaya was this over dramatic set, that no wonder they had to put Oh Louisiana in there after, because you need a set change song.
Yes. Okay, and then it makes me think of at the beginning when she talks about it being the Rodeo Chitlin' Circuit,
Yes.
which was like a performance circuit when performance circuits were segregated for Black
Right.
performers
Right.
specifically.
Yes. Well, and I think there's like other little pops in there, like good old USA, Bible on the Dash,
Whole lot of red
no
in this white and blue.
Fannie Mae. Yeah, no Fannie Mae shit. Like all of those, I feel like kind of continue to pull it all together. And that's why I think the point, even though in some ways, genre, it was all over the damn place.
But I
But
wasn't
she,
mad about it.
no. And she even, I didn't notice this. Do you know she says, come get this genie in a bottle? So I'm like, it's giving pop princess. It's giving rock and roll legend. It's giving blues. It's giving country. It's giving musical theater. Like, it's giving all of it.
Half the songs on the playlist that I made are from this song alone, or like samples from this song alone, because there's so much
So
good
much.
stuff. And so, to Linda Martell's point, it does make for a very interesting listening experience, which I feel like it's what a lot of us needed. I don't know. I have found myself, like with a lot of recent music, and maybe this just means I'm getting old or something, but where I feel like a lot of newer music feels very like monotonous, like not a lot of like stuff that makes you excited or makes you want to get up and dance. I feel like those finds are
Scratch the brain.
rarer.
The way that Yaya scratches the brain. Was good.
And I gotta tell you, so like I've been listening to this album obviously in the car with JJ. So he loves that song, and he will sit there and he will get so excited, and he gets a look on his face right before, and then starts going, yeah. And then he like bounces. But then Oh Louisiana is on his request list now afterwards, but he calls it Jolizama because he doesn't know what they're saying. I want to listen to Jolizama.
And you're like, huh? Oh. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I will say, just really quick before we move on to Oh Louisiana, just because I want to give these folks their props, I'm on genius.com again. And it says, Yaya does serve as a celebration of artists who toured the Chitlin' Circuit, which included folks like Ray Charles, Ella Fitzgerald, Aretha Franklin, Little Richard, the Jackson Five, Tina Turner. And they all had their time in the circuit in the face of segregation.
Okay, now I feel like I want to go back and find what songs from those particular artists that I missed are in there.
I feel like some of it is stuff that crosses over a little bit. Like Little Richard, I feel like it's like part of the vibe.
I
And
think
like
you're right.
the vocal, you know what I mean, is like Aretha and Tina and Ella, in the way that she kind of transitions from those soft to hard to low. And like she has range. And I think she really showed her vocal range in this song
Yeah, she
because she
did.
got to some of her lowest. And I think people forget
that like she like low key a tenor. Which like is not an easy thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just a good fucking jam.
Just listen to it when you're sad. You'll feel so good. Just like, and I think it's like all the best music rolled into one, too.
Yes, exactly. It's literally everything together.
But her take on it, and she seems to make
Yeah.
everything better that she does. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly.
So good. Okay. So, do
Okay,
we want to
so
move to Jolie Zama?
Jolie Zama, I thought always, like I said, one, it gives like set change.
Yep.
Two, that obviously it was it was her way to like pay tribute to her Louisiana and like Creole heritage. But then Oh Louisiana is a bridge. Oh wait, no. It's from Chuck Berry. That's what I was trying to say.
It's from Chuck Berry, like it's a tribute to Chuck Berry.
The Oh Louisiana
Yeah.
line, I believe, one of his songs, yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, we'll have to get that up on the playlist too then.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Genius.com is teaching me a lot.
I love it. I love it. Do you have anything else to say about that in particular? Otherwise, or other than.
It's a really short song.
Yeah, there's a lot of like really short moments like that, and the Desert Eagle, which is next, is also like another like short little
Yeah.
thing that has you included on your playlist, and then I put it on there too. That like bass on there
Yes.
was a sample as well, or seems to be inspired by, and I could pull it up and let you know.
From Them Changes, Thundercat.
Okay, yeah.
The bass has no business being this funky on this song. It's so like just good.
Yeah. It really is. It really is.
I
And then
wish
that, and also like the
longer.
eagle sound effect that like hits you in the beginning before they go into that.
Yep. I feel like this is like another, this gives me the same vibes as like Partition in the sense of like, this is just something sexy for y'all. And
Yeah.
that's like, why is it such a short song? Why didn't you give us a full? We need the long version of Desert Eagle now.
Yeah, we do. Why do you think she did those little short things, or like didn't allow, I mean, other than the fact that it would have been like a 5 hour album and we would
Yeah,
have
like
taken
seven songs. Yeah.
four podcast
Here's the
episodes.
thing though. I would have listened to a 7 minute long version of Desert Eagle if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
If that bass was really, they was slapping the bass, okay? So I do think that it's like a little bit, I think it's a little bit like, how can you fit as much as you can into a small package? Because when you think about it, 27 songs in an hour and 18 minutes is like kind of a lot, like condensed.
Yeah, it really is.
And I saw something recently where she spoke about the fact that sometimes she does have to condense songs because people have like, she's like, you can't just be dropping an album with like 12, 8 minute songs. People don't have the attention span. And I'm like, if the beat is right, I do. But I wonder, with that being said, if some of the shorter songs were initially longer and got cut down because they were like trying to keep the album as a whole under like that hour 20 mark.
Yeah, or I even sometimes think about this sometimes, like as a choreographer creating stuff, sometimes I can look at things that I have an idea for or that I want to create, and I'm like, no, I feel like I can say what I need to say here in under 3 minutes.
Yes.
And we could elaborate, but like longer doesn't necessarily always equal better, unless, of course, it's that base in Desert Eagle.
The bass and Desert Eagle, man. It's just so good.
It's
And it,
so
yeah,
good.
it's full Thundercat. It is just good. Just good. And I think also what I will say about the from Desert Eagle on pretty much through the album, they're like seamless transitions.
Yes, very much so. And then we have that transition into Riverdance, which we kind of talked about already a little bit last time about just feeling like it's kind of like a bop and like a dance anthem, and I mean just really good. And then we talked a little bit last time, and if everyone listening didn't listen to episode one, definitely go back and do it a little bit. We talked about how I was curious if Riverdance had some kind of like ode to like tap dance history, and how like tap dance is often construed with Irish dance, even though tap dance is a black art form. And I'm like, is this a thing? I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe I'm just like making meaning out of something that's not, but couldn't help but think about it.
When you explained it to me, because at first I was like, this song is simply about sex. But when you explained that to me, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if she also just like threw that in there. Especially because it is Riverdance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like this song is a dancing song, but this song also goes really well, to your point, with tap or
Yeah.
river dance.
And it also has like that little do-do-do-do-do, like
Yeah.
that. Like it's also give it, it gives a little Irish jig to it, not gonna
It
lie. Like
does.
it has that kind of feeling to it. Do we want to bust the ringtone myth about
Oh.
that?
Yes, people were saying that this was one of the Nokia ringtones in the background. Which I was like, honestly, I wouldn't put it past Beyonce to sample a ringtone from 2001. Like,
Right.
because she sometimes is such an unserious person.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what? I don't know, because I didn't have a Nokia. So I'm
So
like, I
I
don't
had a Nokia, but I don't remember. But there were definitely TikToks where people were like she was sampling this ringtone, you're not going to believe it. But then there were other people, the ringtone was called Fluid, I believe. And then there were other people who actually got an old Nokia phone and played that ringtone. And they're like, no, this ain't it. So
know. Yeah.
I don't know what's true and what's real, but.
Somebody let us know. Somebody please go find a old Nokia phone from the late 90s or early 2000s and let us know.
Yeah, it was also like a really interesting, like, rhythmic overlay, because if you listen to that little like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, like it's not very even. And I was
No.
playing this song as a warm-up in my tap class, and the clean version, in case anybody is listening. Okay, we are bouncing on that hit. It is a
Yes.
dance party. We are bending our
Yes.
knees. Okay, it's not about, yeah, all right, whatever. Anyway, regardless, I was playing the song and I'm sitting there like listening to the beginning, like before the beat drops. And it's, you have to wait for that beat to drop, like to really be able to follow it, because that just kind of like, and I don't even know, I haven't tried to count it.
I did try to count it yesterday, and then I got distracted because I was in the shower shampooing my hair. But
And now I'm like, I
I
kind of want to count
will
it.
count that. Because of the way that she says dance, and like it kind of reminds me of the same way that people were trying to figure out the fan claps on Renaissance.
The fan claps. I don't think people, I don't, I didn't go that deep into Renaissance.
Okay, so what song is it? Well, 10 10 10s across the board. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyways, in that you'll hear the, like snapping their fans open and close. And there was a point where, especially before the tour, people were doing like tutorials because people couldn't figure out the rhythm of it because it wasn't like an exact 4-4, 8-8, whatever.
Now
And
I want to
so
like listen to both.
it kind of reminded me of that too at the beginning of Riverdance, and the fact that like it is on a regular rhythm, but also it's not.
I'm gonna have to figure
The
that
way
out
that she
now,
says things. Yeah.
because I did, Renaissance was one of those albums that I listened to like all the way through, like many, many times, but I didn't nerd out about it in the same way. And I was thinking about it. I think it's because I don't have, like, Cowboy Carter had a lot more like odes to like, I think songs that were more familiar, you know what I mean? Even if you weren't like a country music fan, there were still odes to like rock music and like popular songs that I think a lot of people know just from like living in the world, where I wasn't as versed in like house music or like the stuff that she brought into Renaissance. Like I loved it, but I couldn't tell you know, who she was sampling where or who inspired what.
No, that totally makes sense. I will say, I'm not like as versed within the music industry from a production, like producing standpoint, but the song was co-produced by The Dream.
Oh,
Do you remember him?
vaguely.
Yeah. So I knew that he had been a producer prior to him releasing his own records and that he still was producing, but I was like, oh, y'all really put it down on this song. I would have gone back straight to producing too.
Now I'm like going down all sorts of like Google rabbit holes and I need to focus, but
I know,
fun
because you're like, what
facts.
else has the dream been helping with that we didn't know?
Right, just behind the scenes. Wild.
Yeah. So
Absolutely
much.
wild. Anything else about this song?
Not besides Dolly's percussion with them nails.
Wait, that was Dolly doing nail percussion? What?
In the back, you hear it at the end, mostly as it goes in the two hands to heaven. And obviously, you hear it again in Tyrant.
That's Dolly doing nails.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Have you heard? So wait. Have you heard about Dolly and the nails in general before?
No.
Oh, so okay. People who don't know, Miss Dolly Parton is an acrylic girly. Okay, I don't know. Maybe she switched to gel X these days, but she's usually got them long nails, and she figured out at some point that you can them together,
Oh.
and they make a little beat. So there's even an interview of her. You gotta really like. I have my gel over my nails and they're long so I can make the sound,
I have a
but I don't
dip right now. I'm
know that
trying.
I don't know if I could if my nails were shorter, but there's an interview, I don't remember from when, but she like starts playing her nails and singing at the same time.
Oh my God, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard of. I love it. Go, Dolly, go. And
So
so.
I think it might have been a little bit in the background in Jolene. It comes back in this song, trans, and it sort of is part of the like transition that you hear as we
Yeah.
go into Two Hands to Heaven.
Fun facts. Two hands to heaven. I made some notes, but I was just like, just yes.
Yeah.
But what does it meaning? What does it mean? And also, it's just kind of hot. Like the part where she's like, baby, I've been waiting.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Oh,
that's
at the
just,
end.
yeah. I'm like, that's just hot. But like,
It's very like cater to you, Destiny's Child, which I've actually heard a DJ on TikTok like mix them together because
oh.
they do mix together very well, but I feel like it gives the same vibes as Cater to You.
Okay.
And I think that it is kind of like her country R&B song for the album.
Okay,
Because that part at the end, especially when she's like really like riffing into Tyrant, I'm like, you can't tell me to stay in an R&B album for that like short time.
Right. I enjoyed it.
I think it's just a good song. And I think it was her way of like talking. Like, she really, if you look at it lyrically, she threw a whole, we're talking about whiskey. We're talking about horses. We're talking about God. We're talking about heaven. Like, all of these things that are kind of not fully a piece of country as a genre, but like, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hear those things and it sounds like the country music starter pack to me.
In some ways, yeah.
Yeah, a little
Yes.
bit.
A little bit. You're not wrong.
All
But
right.
yeah, no, I don't. I'm sure the Hive girls know more about this song, but sorry, y'all, that's all we got.
Yeah.
For Two Hands to Heaven. I just think it's a good vibe, for sure.
Yes. And then there's a transition between that and tyrant. And it is reminding me of the Justin Timberlake album from like 2026, the one that had Sexy Back. There's a song on there called Love Stoned. And
Yes.
the way that that song like transitioned into the next thing, the transition sounds similar. And I actually can't imagine that she took from Justin Timberlake, given like the scandal with him and Janet Jackson. And
Yeah.
like, that's still, I can't imagine her not knowing and having a problem with that. But I can't think of another thing to compare it to. And that's what it reminds me of.
Well, but I also wouldn't be surprised, like if you think about it truly, Justin Timberlake like did not become Justin Timberlake because he's that good. That's why his current album is kind of flopping. Those albums that Justin Timberlake did really well on was because he had black
I was gonna
producers.
say, didn't Timbaland produce that album?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I'm like, so in that way, I'm like, I think there is some connection there, but that it has less to do with
With
him and that
Justin himself.
happened to get lucky that that's what they gave him.
Yep. Spot on.
So yeah, but I like that we got like another time with Dolly, which I think again reinforces like I've got country legends on here with me. And that she again is playing her nails and striking up and lighting up this juke joint. I was like, okay, Dolly, let's do it.
Yeah. And you were talking about how, like, what was Dolly doing in that part? Because weren't you, didn't you have a post a
Yeah,
TikTok
I
about,
did.
like,
Okay,
what?
so the background vocals at the beginning and throughout the song, I was like, it doesn't sound like Dolly like straight is singing this, but it sounds like either one, a couple of different like voices are being mixed together to sort of give a like pop country R&B Dolly vibe, or they like auto-tune the shit out of her. According to me asking TikTok 100 and something thousand views later and hundreds of comments later, that the background vocals on that song actually are from Ciara and Brittany, I believe, that were in Blackbird, and that it was not Dolly P singing in the background.
So why does Dolly get credit for that song instead of them?
Well, I think that comes down to the background vocal things. A lot of times people don't necessarily get a vocal credit or a writing credit on stuff if they are only background.
So what is Dolly credited for? Because she did the
I think it's
intro.
for her speaking at the beginning and playing her nails.
Okay. And now I gotta listen for the nails through. Is it only in the intro or is it through the whole song?
No, you can hear the nails, I feel like, throughout all of Tyrant. I
Okay,
feel like,
now I gotta listen. I gotta listen for the nails. I'm sure I heard it as like
yeah,
percussion, but not
you
like
heard,
Dolly's nails.
and you just, no, I bet you heard it, and like there are multiple like wooden type of percussion instruments that make that similar sound. So I'm sure in your brain you were like, oh, that's one of them little there's
Or like
like,
a washboard or
I don't
something.
know, like the washboard or like the like. I can't remember. It looks like a maraca, but it has like ridges in it, and you go over it with another wooden like stick, kind of like drumstick.
Yeah.
So at first, it kind of does sound like that over the nails, but like if you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about this song and with Dolly, because this is something that popped up, I would say specifically more on the black TikTok, if you will. People were a little confused about the meaning of this song. And some people
Tell
thought
me what.
it was a lot more serious than it was. So I perceive Tyrant to be essentially a reprise to Jolene. So
Okay.
again, that's where I'm like, it's giving musical theater. Because I'm like, I don't think there's a Tyrant without Jolene on this album. Like they go together. And I feel like Hangman in this, she's like, I'm envious of you because you just coming to town, ruining people's relationships, just getting your goods and leaving. And why do I have to stay in a marriage and like be a parent and not be chaotic? And I
Yeah.
want to be chaotic like the Hangman. And like that's what I feel like Tyrant is about. But trigger warning, Black TikTok thought that it was about lynching at one point, and I was like, I don't think they're gonna put Dolly Parton on a song about lynching, nor do I think that Beyonce is gonna make a song sound like fun to dance to if it's about something that traumatizing.
Okay, and I would be a liar if I say if I didn't question
At some point.
if that at some point if that was about, especially like the line, your hands are steady and you sleep at night.
Yes.
I was like, and that could be a metaphor for a whole lot of things.
Right. But I think that that was really speaking to like, you really give no shits that you come in, ruin people's relationships, like maybe even steal from the man and leave
Right,
and
right.
have zero qualms about that. And that's not something that's ever really been idolized, if you will, within American culture. Like a femme fatale is an enemy in a
Right.
different way, that like a man who sleeps with girls left and right, ruins marriages, relationships, doesn't care. It's like, wow, he's an icon. Versus when a woman does it, it's usually she's a slut or she's a homewrecker, right? Like, how often do we call men homewreckers?
Never, never.
Never. Like, never. So I felt like it was really speaking to that fact, and that you come in, you take what you want, you do truly sleep at night, could not care less,
So
and then
when,
go to the next spot.
so the tyrant is Jolene, and I put Jolene in air quotes. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, or that the tyrant is Beyonce because she learned some stuff from Jolene.
Oh, I gotta go listen again now.
That's, yeah.
And was the
But I
general,
feel like, go ahead.
I was gonna say, was the general consensus on TikTok, like, were more people with you that are like, I don't think it was that deep, or did more
Yeah.
people seem to think it was deeper? Okay. Yeah.
No, I feel like there were people who were searching for conversations like we're having right now, because they're like, I'm thinking this, this, and this, and that, like, it's not to say that that is a wild idea. It's not like Hangman, okay. But I'm like, why would Beyonce make a bop about that? And why would she put Dolly Parton on it? Like, that would be a little odd to have a white woman starting a song where she says, let's light up this juke joint, and then it's about something not traumatizing. Like,
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah.
think I don't think that's right. But could Beyonce have taken some imagery, if you will, in the way that people are explaining it and saying, like, they didn't appreciate when it happened, like women didn't appreciate when it happened to their man, because it was like, no, I didn't necessarily love him, but like he was a provider, and what am I supposed to do now? So it's like, in some ways, I'm like, I don't understand how y'all got there,
Yeah.
but I don't think it's the point
Yeah.
at
Yeah.
all. But also, still a bop.
Yeah. Still a bop.
Still a bop. And this bop takes us straight into another bop.
Another bop, which is like a
The
three-part bop. We've got Sweet Honey Bucking.
Child, this song got me in a whole like Desert Eagles bass do, but it's the whole song.
And okay, the like slash thing, I noticed the honey, and I don't know what, like, there was also on Renaissance, there was pure slash honey.
Yes, that's
Why
a really
is
good point.
honey a part, and is it the same honey? Is it a different honey?
I feel like that always speaks to like the hive as a whole.
Ah,
Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like the honey is, yeah, kind of just like a general like a hive, because like that's what her fans are known as. And so it's like she is Mother Queen Bee. Like, she's obviously producing the honey.
Yeah.
But it also is this, like, if you think about like what honey is, right? It can be moisturizing, but it's also sticky, but it's, you know what I mean? And that like, that's a little bit of this song is like, it's not necessarily clean, but it ain't completely dirty either.
Yeah. And it
But
like
it's definitely country.
Each of those parts, like there was that like little twang in the beginning that was like giving island vibes almost.
A little bit.
And then it like the transition between each little part was so it was just so like seamless but so good. My favorite part though is in the Buckin' part, the way that she syncopates the part where she's like about the horse. Pretty as hell, au naturel. That, you know what I'm talking about? It's like,
yeah,
it's just so pleasing. Again, I would tap that.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I just scrolled down on Genius and it says that this is a counterpart to Renaissance's Pure slash Honey.
Now I want to listen to them both together,
now
one right after the next.
Now you have to listen to them together.
Yeah.
Okay, and Beyonce in the song talks about the Grammy snubbing her for not winning Album of the Year,
okay,
saying that she did not fall for their game, but will just continue to grow artistically. And like, that's literally what this whole album was.
Yeah.
And it was like also kind of a collaboration of so many different people, because Pharrell is also on the song.
What, he is?
Yes.
Is he credited for the? How did I not know this?
He's not credited like on, no, like he doesn't get a like featured in the same way the other folks do. But he helped produce it.
But
and
then also that makes sense. Like, of course he is.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it's Pharrell. Like, of course, right?
Right.
But he, at the end in the like bucking part, he has some vocals in there. I think they're the background vocals.
Okay. No shit. There were a couple of lines in there that I just really enjoyed. The one part where she just says, I'm coming home.
Yes.
Like coming back to her roots and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then, of course, the snark of the say the things that I know will offend, wear the shit that I know start a trend.
Yep. Yep. Well, and I feel like verse two as a whole really speaks about like more of the like kind of putting like the black culture within country culture. Jiffy Cornbread, Booty Cornfed, Ritz, we in a Cadillac taking Route 44. Like,
yeah,
that is some black country shit right there.
Yes.
So
I love it.
I'm like, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, you just have this constant still like country flow. We're talking about horses. We're talking about bucking. Like, I mean, I'm talking about horses a lot. So.
Yeah. And like, yeah. Bucking is in like, I don't know, maybe like just shaking up like the norm a little bit.
Shaking up the norm a little bit, but there is also like, I know of it as bucking as like kind of a form of dance, and I'll make sure
yes.
that I ask if it's not on there already. There is, I don't know if she's a choreographer or just her video blew up or what, but I think she does fantastic choreography to a bit of this song. So, and she like, people in the comments were like, that's the bucking Beyonce was talking about.
Wait, okay. So like, what, is there like a video for this already with choreography?
Yeah, not Beyonce's choreography. This is a random girl on TikTok, but people are like, I think that's what Beyonce meant when she said we bucking.
Okay, and is that, because now I'm thinking like there was like in the early ages of tap dancing, there was like buck and wing, which was like an early like style of like tap dance, or almost like a precursor to like what we know as like modern day tap dance. Is it similar to that? Is it like rhythmic or?
I would say that it like its cousin is definitely twerking.
Okay, so different thing.
Different
Different
thing.
thing. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think we're talking about the same
We're not
song.
talking about, listen, I am like a white girl tap dance nerd over
Yeah, I'm
here.
like, I don't think that's the same thing. But regardless, would I be surprised if, like, you know what I mean? She has like 16 meanings for everything. So like, could it have helped make the full project? Probably.
And maybe there's parts of that like she doesn't want us to know or to like have our own interpretations or conversations about. It makes me think of like when I was in college and was taking like composition class, and they would often tell us to like not choreograph to music that had like that people had strong associations with, or to like even choreograph to instrumentals so people could make their own meaning
Yeah.
of your choreography. So I don't know. I don't doubt that she probably wants to leave like a little bit of mystery, or
Yeah.
if you're like, but Beyonce, is it bucking that looks like twerking? Yes. But is it the buck dance that was like earlier precursor to tap dance? Yes. Are you talking about a horse? Yes. Are you shaking it up? Yes. Like,
It's all,
yeah.
literally, it's all of the above. Yeah, I think you're correct because like I said, I do not consider myself to be a Hive member. I just think like art, what is good art that speaks for itself, you know what I mean?
And
And
that is exactly what this is.
yes.
Did I tell you about what my client said, the classical musician?
I don't believe so.
We were texting about this album. So one of my clients is a classically trained musician. She like teaches music lessons for a living. She like straight up like went to Paris to audition for like Paris Opera last year. So she's like really into that. Hold on. I want to find the text that she sent me because it speaks to like the work of art this is. She said, I told my friend tonight, in music school, I would have always wondered what it would be like to be in the audience for the new Beethoven Symphony or the Mozart Requiem or a Stravinsky ballet. I think Beyonce is that level, and I'm witnessing it for the first time, not to be dramatic.
Okay, not to be dramatic, and I think we did talk about that on the last episode, but honestly, it needed to be resaid because I don't think that it is far-fetched to say that's true, because truly, what other artist is doing 17 million different kind of genres on their own track? And I think that something that came up this weekend, because of course now there's like a lot of like Taylor versus Beyonce discourse, which I don't know that needs to exist, but it was a lot of like, you can say that Taylor is a great songwriter, but what you cannot say is that Taylor is even near Beyonce as a vocalist. And I said, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. Like, I would not expect Taylor to sing any vocally challenging song. I would not expect her to sing Beyonce. I would not expect her to sing Adele. No.
True, very true.
And so I think that is kind of like one of the things that really speaks to wh what other artist is doing this insane amount of vocal, this insane amount of visual, this, and also is like writing the songs too. And no, she's not writing everything by herself, but like is only bringing in the best of the best to help her with it.
Right. And I think, again, not to make it like a Taylor versus Beyonce thing, because I also think, like, as I sit here, I'm like, okay, like, I actually did listen to the new Taylor Swift album mostly because I was curious to see. And I did post on my Instagram stories, like, what do you prefer? Beyonce, Taylor, both, neither, or whatever. But I don't think that it has to be, it's apples and oranges. Like, it's two very
It
powerful women. But it's two different things. And I think the thing with Beyonce is that she has also just had more time to marinate in her art like
Yes.
a fine wine.
Yes. Because Beyonce has been performing truly for longer than I've been alive. Like, she has been a performer pretty much since birth. And I think somebody said this to me this past weekend. It's easy to be like Beyonce, but her sister is freaking talented too. Solange is also so talented musically. Like, this is just truly in their bones to some degree. Because I'm sorry, but when it comes down to who will be some of the best R&B artists, even specifically, their names are always going to be at the top.
Yep.
Because, yep. I don't know, there's just something good coming out of the parent. When you put them and parents together, it makes a very musically inclined combo. It just does.
Truly, truly. So to kind of like wrap it up with a nice little bow, finally we get to Amen, which I think brings us back full circle to the same vibe of American Requiem.
Absolutely. You could tell me if you play actually American Requiem straight into Amen, like, you can feel it even more.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they don't like mix together perfectly because they're not meant to be played back to back.
Right.
But I feel like the tone immediately brings you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what is really important from Requiem to Amen lyrically is tell me, can you hear me now? Because so much in American Requiem, she's like, can you hear me? But do you feel me? Right? And that, like, this is like, okay, now you listen to the whole album. Be for real. Tell me you can't see it. Be for real right now.
Yes.
And in the lyrics before that, this house was built with blood and bone and it crumbled. Yes, it crumbled. The statues they made were beautiful, but they were lies of stone. They were lies of stone. And like, I think that a little bit was speaking to y'all tried to use Black and Brown artists in a way to like create this new genre and y'all stole it from us. And yes, there was some beauty that came out of it, i.e. a Dolly Parton, i.e. a Willie Nelson. But what you're not going to do is pretend that Black people didn't make country music.
Truly. Truly.
So, I'll also say that in the outro of this, obviously she says like American Requiem. So I think that is like a true lyrical tie. Uh-huh. But something I noticed was she said, will be the one to purify our father's sins.
Uh-huh.
And there's another song, and now I'm trying to remember which one it was, where she used she for God instead of he. And uh-huh. So I was like, I wonder if there's something there of like, because she's kind of gendered it differently throughout the album, I'm like, there's gotta be something there. I don't know what it is exactly.
Huh. But I don't know
that she's changing it back and forth in different songs.
Maybe we will discover in part three of the trilogy.
That's a good point.
And, you know, I heard something else too, and I haven't actually tried this. Did you hear somebody said that if you play like the end of that song, how it kind of like bloops out
mm-hmm.
at the end? And if you put that next to I'm That Girl at the beginning of Renaissance, that they like bleed into each other. Have you tried that? Is that true? I just heard a rumor about it.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that they sound like that beep, like bloop at the end. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that happens at the end of American Requiem too. And so I'm like, will that also be in Act 3? Like, will we hear that possibly at the beginning or end of that album? And like, is that bloop our through line of the acts?
Not a clue, but I'm excited to find out. And but now I like
want it to come out immediately, because like, what if that's really her last album? Like, I don't want Act
3. No, I'm not ready for it yet. No, we need to like, but like, and first of all, I'm not even like tired of this one yet. You know what I mean? No. Like, it's going to take me a long time. I think I listened to Renaissance for like a year straight, like on repeat. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get tired of it. And I'm even still not completely tired of it. I just don't listen to it every day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not tired of it though. No.
No.
It's a classic in some regard,
Yes. I kind of
which
want
is
to listen to like both back to back now, though.
you definitely do need to do that. And I'm sure somebody has made it on Apple Music, but I know for sure, and we can link it in the show notes, that somebody made a like entire Beyoncé discography playlist with all of the songs in order. So you could have that immediate, like from her first album to her second to her third to her fourth, all of it in order. Now, for some people, I believe it includes Black is King. Some people say that's not canon, so I'm so sorry, but that's in there. But I think it really, again, speaks to like how she's grown as an artist. And like you can hear it from Crazy in Love all the way to the end of Renaissance if you're listening to it and it's like order, you know?
Right. And now I even think about like that growth as an artist generally, and thinking about something like Crazy in Love that I feel like followed more of the like rules, if you
Yes.
will, of
Yeah.
like what I don't know, like what you have to do in an album, and now she's like doing whatever, like she's making the rules.
Yes. Yes. I feel like when Crazy in Love came out, like one, we hadn't seen anybody who was in like a girl band, boy band really take a solo career and like really be successful from it. You know, like we'd seen people with success, but like she's skyrocketed past kind of
Oh, yeah.
anybody. And so I feel like, yeah, Crazy in Love, she was playing the rules because she was really like just transitioning into the solo game coming from Destiny's Child. And so she's like, yeah, I'll be Jay-Z's arm candy kind of. And like, if you look at that music video, though it is her video, there are times where you're like, is Beyoncé a background dancer? Typically in the Crazy in Love music video, when the two of them are shot in the same sequences in like the same scenes.
Now I'm gonna have to go
But
back.
now, like if we were to get the visuals, let's say for Tyrant, Jolene even, Jay-Z's in the back.
Oh yeah.
He's in the back. Like Blue is in front of him. You know what I
Yep.
mean? So like it really, I think you're right, does speak to that growth and what she was willing to take risks on then versus now, and that she has set herself up some in this way within the music industry that she can be like, I want Pharrell, I want Willie Nelson, I want Dolly Parton, I want The Dream, I want my husband. Like so many random artists that like came together to make this album. People were so worried if Beyoncé made a country album that all of these black country artists that are out right now wouldn't get, they would get overshadowed. She said, no problem. I'm bringing them with. Now they're topping the charts too. So it's like, you know, like that's a good body of work. But I would be remiss to not speak about the fact that she is literally one of the most powerful women in the world and often chooses not to utilize that power.
And I feel like, okay, I feel like I want to hear your like speak your piece on this. Let me know, because I also feel like as a white woman, I have no business telling Beyoncé what to do. Like
That's fair.
I can maybe tell Taylor Swift what to do, but like,
Yeah.
what do we want the people to consider or no?
I think it's just important to consider that, especially I would say Lemonade on, that she has spent a lot of her music time and creative time speaking about like different aspects of Black culture and the Black diaspora. And I think in the hopes of trying to like unify the Black community and unify the fact that like we are gonna fight for our, you know, justice. But when she has the opportunity to like really pull some big triggers as far as shaking up kind of what the norm is within the music industry, what the norm is within business and like world and like the geopolitical aspect, she don't do that. She don't do that. So I think there's like this little bit of, is that coming from a place of she is exploring and understanding her own identity as a Black person and is not yet educated or equipped to understand like how being a black capitalist is actually in some ways anti-black. And or is there stuff that you get to know when you're at the tippy top and the rest of us don't, and there's a reason she can't do it or won't do it? Like, I don't know, because I think we spoke about this before, but like, you don't see her kids in the tabloids. Who else kids you just don't see in the tabloids ever? Like, there's some amount of power that she has to have in order to make that so. And I wonder if there's something you have to give away for that power. Because usually in a capitalistic society, you don't just get to get stuff without having to like kind of not be able to really stand 10 toes down on your morals too.
Yeah. And like you just don't know. But the other thing, it's making me think of the conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago about Lizzo. And
Yes.
similarly, how I think sometimes we expect this of celebrities. We expect this, I think, to an extent of even people that we follow on social media that we have these like parasocial relationships with, where if they give us any inkling that they are like-minded to us, or they share our values some way, we expect, because they're such a big person, that they're also just as much as, if not more educated than we are on things like
Yeah.
political activism, for example, which they just might simply not be. And I'm not saying that that's like an excuse, or that it's right, or that it's
Right.
wrong, but it's just, I think we expect, or like, I think, and we do this a lot, we hear somebody say one thing,
Yes.
or we take a certain meaning from their album, which may or may not even be, as we mentioned, what
Yeah.
they meant by it. It might have been something different, but then we make these assumptions about what they know and what they don't know, and we're not always correct in those assumptions. And also, like, I mean, to be fair, neither of us wield the kind of power that somebody like Beyonce does, but also, like, we could continue to fuck up daily in the privacy of our own lives, and nobody would see it or
Exactly.
give a shit.
Yeah. And certainly not on that scale. And I think that that does speak to like, I know that I saw somebody post something about like, y'all keep talking about Beyonce is doing this and this and that for the black community, but like Beyonce has voluntarily done blackface before. And which was not inaccurate. She did do a photo shoot where she darkened herself to be a lot darker than she actually is. And this photo shoot happened in like, I don't know, 2011. So I'm like, if she did it right now, okay, babe, come on, you know.
Right.
But like, all of us was still kind of fucking up then, you know, like we just didn't know what we didn't know yet. So I think it's important. So I agree with you that it's like we're never gonna really know what somebody knows. Yes, we know they have access to receive this education in a way that other people. And that is for sure something that money gives them is a
Right.
lot of access. But I mean, I don't know that it makes sense that we're necessarily also expecting people to like they're spending 5 hours of their day doing activism work. No, they're not activists.
But then, like, I guess, and I don't even know what any, to be honest, like, artist has, like Beyonce or otherwise, like, you know what I mean? Like where, like, are they donating money somewhere? Do they have like their own like separate charitable organization that we don't know about? Like, I don't know what's happening there. And I think people's big gripe about her is that she's not speaking out about things like what's happening in Gaza, or like other,
Or Congo or Sudan. Like, and I think that's my biggest gripe with her is I'm like, if we are going to say that you want to possibly focus more on black topics, if you will, cool. But there are more than a few things going on, right? So it's like, if you don't want to talk about Gaza, there are other things that you could be using your power to talk about. And if Beyonce said, Apple, we don't want you mining in the Congo anymore, I'm pretty sure they simply would not.
So
So it's
Wow.
like,
Yeah, I
you
didn't
know what
even,
I mean?
or almost like,
That's
yeah.
where it's like, no, you might not have the education, but because you have the access and the money and the ability to make Levi jeans decide to have two eyes in its name randomly.
You could probably make Apple come up with a different material to make their
Right.
phones out of.
Or at least, I don't know, ethically pay people instead of putting them through dangerous mining. Like, and I don't think that ethically paying them is really the solution at this point, but that's, you know, a different podcast topic.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about the fact that, and this is where I think there is similarity with Taylor, because they both are billion-dollar women, and we don't have a lot of billion-dollar women. That if they were like, hey, yo, please stop, it simply would stop.
You know, and then there's also just the thought of like why do there need to be billionaires? Like with
Yes.
what are you doing with all that? Like at some point I saw another meme that was like, you should be able to get to a certain point and be like, congratulations, you won capitalism, and then like
Yeah. No, actually. And that's why I'm saying, like, we would be remiss in, like, we can talk about all of these things with Beyoncé's albums, but not talk about the fact that she is a capitalist at the end of the day. Because, like, if you think about even like Ivy Parker, her brand was in hot water. Why? Because they were not paying people ethically to make those clothes. The same clothes that then she's gifting an entire box to Reese Witherspoon for free. Reese Witherspoon can buy that entire collection from you, and it would not cost her the equivalent of what, $100 to everybody else.
Yep.
She didn't need to get that whole line for free. And we didn't need to have people making crazy below the minimum wage, slash, probably not even being able to work in like what we would consider to be decent conditions in order for that to get made.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, like when you think of like the billionaires of the world where you could just like, I don't know, like walk through LA and just like make it rain some dollar bills and like completely solve the problem of the housing crisis there. And like there would
Yes.
be no more homeless people.
No. And I think that's it, is that it's like, in some ways, I could sit here and be like, wow, Beyonce and Jay-Z have both gone through the music industry and together as a couple are literally like the richest people in the music industry. And like their kids are set for life. And
Yeah.
their kids are set for life. And they could still donate $200, $300 million. And they would still be set for life.
It really makes you wonder, like on an unrelated note to like anybody, just from like a money mindset topic, like you got to wonder what goes on in somebody's head, or like we all know how like scarcity mindset comes into play, like especially if you didn't grow up with money. And
Right.
like what that actually feels like. That's again another podcast topic for another day. Now I'm just rambling.
Yeah. But I just like, I think it's important to throw in at the end of this, because it's like, I think that if we try to talk about Beyonce as an artist without also talking about her as a businesswoman, because that is like the secondary piece of being an artist,
Yep.
just in general these days,
Yep.
that yeah, like it wouldn't be doing like a full intersectional justice.
Is there anything else you want to add from an intersectional justice or anything about the album as a whole?
The only other thing I'll add, which I learned, was that Cowboy Carter was maybe not named Cowboy Carter because of her having the last name Carter, but because they're like essentially the first family of country, their names were the Carters, the first white family of country,
Okay.
and they would go around with a black artist who they like stole his music. And then they were like, come with us to steal other people's music, because he could learn it by listening to it. And then yeah, so that is also on the TikTok playlist for people who want to look at it. But I thought that that was really interesting, little tidbit as
And
well, because
make sure you get me that link, and I will get that TikTok playlist up in the show notes as well. And anything else. This is so good. Thank you for having this conversation with me. I am glad that somebody else wanted to nerd out with me and give this full like intersectional lens because you just brought so much to the conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. I love our little ADHD talks.
I love them. Maybe this needs to be a series, ADHD
What
talks.
else do y'all want us to talk about?
Let
Send
us know. Let
us
us know.
know.
I'm sure that you will be back again at some point, once I actually drop season three of this thing and ADHD talks or otherwise. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ashantis as much as I did. Like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I will be back very soon, next couple of weeks, starting season three of Tough Cookie Talks. Have a bunch of other good stuff in store. So I hope that you enjoyed these two bonus episodes. Let me know what you thought. Let me know if you have any other interesting things to add, if you've learned anything new, if you have your own opinions, if you want to nerd out about it with me, feel free to hit me up, Jenna@itsjennaj.com or @itsjennaj on Instagram. All right. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram @itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.